I've already thought of that. Yeah, no, it occurred to me a while ago. Well, I'm the host of the show. I have to be a step ahead, and I am. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and the point is, what if the number of shows of the Revelation series is 666? Because, you know, it could happen. We're on show 560 right now. I'm in Revelation 20. I still have to cover the constellation of the 12 stars in Virgo and the moon and the sun. I'm going to do that. Have to cover the chronology in the Bible. I have to cover the time periods, the 6,000-year time periods, the 1,000-year millennium. Don't be confused by that. I will get into detail on that. I'm going to give you a possible year for the inauguration of the kingdom. Got to do that. And yeah, we're on chapter 20, so it could be. Oh, by the way, I got an infection on my finger. I was reaching behind the desk here one day to retrieve something, and a splinter got in there. If you're looking at that on the webcam, on the laundry cam, and I got an infection there. Yeah, I suppose I could try to make it 666 shows, but if that happens, it's going to be organic. I'm not going to force it. Let it happen if it wants to happen. The reign of the saints. I want to make sure you understand something I said yesterday, and I'm not sure I was very clear. And if you don't get it, it's my fault. I always take responsibility as a teacher that if you don't understand, I screwed something up and I didn't do it as well as I could have. There are two different wordings concerning the reign of the saints in these last chapters of the unveiling. One is in Revelation 20, verse 6, where we are. Says that that Israel will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will be reigning with him for the 1,000 years. It mentions a specific time period, the 1,000 years. Yet later in Revelation 22:5, we read that the saints will be reigning for the eons of the eons. Now this, again, I will point out to you constantly the great detail and the specificity of God. And the more you see this, the more you realize that this is inspired. It's unbelievable. The reign of the saints for the eons of the eons, you notice it omits the word priesthood there, because the saints will reign for 2 eons out of all the eons. That's what the phrase eons of the eons means. I talked about the eons early in the series back in the bunker days in Brazil. There are 5 eons. If you want to learn about the eons, go to Complete Archives. Go to ZenderOnRevelation.com. Go to, on the top there, Complete Archives. And then scroll all the way down toward the bottom and you will see references in titles of shows to the eons. Very important topic here. Realize what God does when, that he's very orderly. I always use this not just as head knowledge. We need to know about the eons so that we can be smarter than other people at Bible studies. No, I do this so that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is orderly and that he is progressing in a timely fashion. I know it's not as quick as you would like, but it's a timely fashion to him in that he has time periods in which he's working. So there are 5 eons, the eons of the eons. It's just like King of Kings, Lord of Lords, one Lord among other Lords. Well, here we have the plural, eons of the eons. And we're speaking of, whenever you see this phrase, and again, this is lost in the King James Version. Can't find it there. It's lost in the NIV, lost in the NASB, because you know what they translate this? This is embarrassing for them, not for me. They translate it forever and ever, forever and ever. They ignore the plural. They ignore the genitive case of the genitive case. They just get rid of that. And forever and ever, and they completely screw up the word ion, which is supposed to be eon, not forever. So they screw it up 3 different ways. Genitive case, gone, plural, gone, ion, gone, replaced by forever, which is the opposite of eon, ion in the Greek. The Concordant Version transliterates it, my friends. It brings it over untouched as possible into the English. We have an English word. Look it up in your dictionary. Eon. It corresponds beautifully with the Greek word ion. Even sounds like it. Eon, ion. Just bring it across and don't mess with it. Don't put your grimy fingerprints on it. But they did, and they screwed it up. So the eons of the eons are two eons compared to other eons. And these are the two final great eons. And the saints, the Israel saints, will reign for those two coming eons. They will reign during the millennium and during the new heavens and the new earth. I got a letter, got an email from a guy who was upset when he was thinking that, wait a minute, I thought that physical distinctions disappeared during the fifth eon, the final eon, the new heavens and the new earth. Isn't that perfection, Martin? Well, it's closer to perfection than the 1,000 years is, but we still have Israel reigning. You have the foundations of the city, the new Jerusalem that comes down, and on the foundations are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you have the gates of the city, and on those there are 12 gates of the city, 12 foundations, 12 gates. We're going to get here. And on the gates are the names of the apostles. So obviously, you're still showing your Israelite card to reign in the new heavens and the new earth. This is why I'm finally at this part of Revelation that I love, because we're in finally the eons of the eons. There are 5 eons. There are 2 eons that are extra special, great, fantastic, shining, bright, lovely compared to the other eons. And those are eons 4 and 5, namely the millennium, that's eon 4, and the new heavens and the new earth, that's eon 5. Millennium 4 is 1,000 years in length. Eon 4, 1,000 years. Eon 5, new heavens and new earth, we don't know how long it is. I dare say it's longer, much longer than the 1,000 years. Could be 10,000 years. That's my hypothesis. Don't know. But Israel's going to reign. They still have the Israel card showing. Now, with us, with the body of Christ, only do fleshly distinctions disappear. When I say fleshly distinctions, I'm speaking of two mainly. 1, gender; 2, race. Now, in the 1,000-year kingdom, there's still going to be men and women, but they're not going to be marrying. The immortals won't be marrying. Those worthy to attain to that eon, Jesus says in Luke 20, 24, is it? It's in Luke. I think I'm close there. I might even have nailed it. Don't know. I think so. But it says they're not married or given in marriage, but that doesn't say there's no male and female, does it? And this is just, I believe, the immortals. The mortals, as I told you, there will be mortals and immortals mingling in the 1,000 years. That'd be a heck of a dinner party, swishing your martini, and you have an immortal talking to a mortal, and you think there would be great disdain for the mortals. It's like, you go in the mortals go with the back of the bus. The mortals must drink their champagne over there, and the immortals will drink over here. No, it's not going to be that way, because an immortal person has great power and great glory. And I'm telling you this, the more power and the more glory you have, the more gracious you become. Because we're going to see an opposite thing happening. Now, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Because we're mortal, we're flesh and blood. When you have the mind of Christ, this is the mistake that the apostles made. Jesus, should we call down fire on our enemies? Should we call down fire on them right now? Roast them like marshmallows? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And our Lord had the mind of Christ because he was Christ. That's a good one. I came up with that myself. So, of course, he has great power, great authority. And the greater power you have when you're an immortal, the more merciful you are, the more gracious you are. It's the opposite of what happens when you get power as a mortal. And so these immortals who are mingling, swishing their adult beverages with a mortals, they will be extremely deferential toward those mortals. They will understand. They will have great empathy. They will love them, and they will probably be the ones going to refresh their drinks. May I refresh your drink, sir? This will be the immortal talking to the mortal. May I refresh your drink? Because they want to serve. That is a true mark of a spiritual person. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you have all power and all glory, the first thing you want to do is serve. The first thing you want to do is humble yourself. I love that truth. I love that truth. As an immortal, with great power and authority comes great mercy. And God, he's the ultimate power and glory. He even has power above Christ. Christ says the Father, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I am. My God, if he's greater than him, what power does he have? So just that tells me that he's even more loving and even more condescending. And we see him constantly condescending. He's refreshing our drinks constantly. He's constantly asking us what we want and what we need. He cares for us. He numbers the hairs on our head for the love of God. How does he do this? Why does he do it? Why does he care so much? This is why I despise the teaching that God's too busy to care about the details of your life. Excuse me? Are you kidding me? No, but why? Why do they say that? He's too great. He's too big. This is what they don't understand. When you're God or Christ or even an immortal, the greater you are, the bigger you are, the more you understand, the more you condescend. Because that's what Spirit does. Spirit makes you want to serve. Spirit makes you want to love other people. This is why the more mature we get, the more mellow we get, and the more we understand other people. And the more we don't condemn them, we don't judge them. The more we speak kindly to them, and the more we consider other people's needs. I wonder what that guy might need. Wow, that's the opposite of selfishness, isn't it? So that's why we seem to be taking a nosedive in this world. We seem to be like on our way out. Those stupid people, they just they're not go-getters. They're not go-getters. We've lost. I think this too. Okay, I think we've lost our drive to be somebody in this world. And we have been mellowed. Maturity will mellow you. I mean, we still stand for things, you know. I mean, I still write with strength. I speak with strength. I don't work this up. It just happens. But in life, in the big picture, I'm not striving to make a dent in this world. I'm mellow. You know, and you get to the point, too, where you pray for your enemies. What's that all about? I find that more with older people, or maybe that's the wrong way to say it, people who are more mature in the truth, who have been in this truth for a while, they start doing weird stuff like praying for their enemies. And their friends think they're just dropping off the map. They're like, what's happening with you? You know, you don't seem to be as into the world anymore. You don't seem to be as on fire about even getting out of bed in the morning. Ah, well, you know, okay. Maybe these people are just getting out of bed for a different reason, right? Maybe they're getting out of bed now to serve God. Maybe they're getting out of bed to do the work of God. And to do the work of God, you don't have to do work specifically in the arena of God, but you become a living letter in the world. And again, this just grows and grows. I'm not sure how I got on this sidetrack. Oh, the rulers and the reigners, the mingling with the immortals and the immortals. This is going to be a beautiful thing to see. And you know, when people assume that power will corrupt even an immortal person, that's a form of projection. They're showing you their own heart, because that is what they would do. You know, to see if they had great power and great might, then they would smite their enemies eternally, and they would want served. Isn't that the way it is with a monarch in this evil eon? They want to be served. They want to have people requesting an audience with them instead of mingling with the people. One of the greatest pictures of a king of Israel mingling with the people is David, when the Ark of the Covenant came back from the Philistines and he danced among the people. And his wife, Michal, thought it was disgusting display, because you are mingling with the hoi polloi in the rabble. And she was disgusted that the king would lower himself and expose himself. He wasn't exposing his private parts. He was exposing, well, his soul. He was exposing his love. He was exposing the fact that he was one of the people. Even though God had given him a great position, he wasn't all that, you see. And this is a man who was in tune with God's own heart. And the more you are in tune with God's heart, the more you will adopt this disposition of humility, a disposition of serving, a disposition of considering others better than yourself. And if you think you're getting it now, wait till you see how much you get it when we are snatched away in glory. And folks, the celestials have nothing to fear when we get there, because we will graciously and with the mind of Christ fully installed and fully possessed by the Spirit of God, we will judge righteously, just as our God does now.